Rich is I have a lot of cash flow and I have a lot of things. Wealth is I have an abundance of value and I have an abundance of opportunity. That value gives me opportunity, it's leverage.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. We will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Jewel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life, welcome. This is your host, Jewel Schroeder, tuning in today from Boulder, Colorado. Today's guest is joining me from Kansas City. I have got Hannah Koenig in the house. Hannah, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
I am so ready.
Really excited to have this woman on the show. Multiple six-figure entrepreneur, former Forbes Coaches Council member, and your story, you know, growing up on food stamps below the poverty line, and, you know, really about learning about wealth and the dynamic of it. And I know, you know, you didn't come from money, and there's a lot of fear of finances that I think so many of us as entrepreneurs can relate to, and facing eviction, mountains of debt, I mean, like every, you know, possible consequence that can happen. And you really committed yourself to transforming your relationship with money and went from negative net worth to becoming an investor, owning multiple properties, and really discovering that financial liberation. And I know you also have run this amazing online summit, the Lead Well Summit, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. I know it's going to be happening again this fall. And I know that to be able to have all different types of authors, speakers, educators come together to really talk about financial feminism, first generational wealth, trauma and shame around money, emotional spending, like so many things that's so vital, in my opinion, to the day-to-day that we just don't hear about. Excited to have you on the show, Hannah. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Oh my goodness, what an intro. No, I think you did great. I'm so excited to dive into all of that. I think what's most interesting is that some of those big transformations that you're talking about have only happened within the last handful of years. We were super poor growing up. My father was a disabled veteran. We lived off of his pension. My parents had a terrible relationship with money. I always knew that money was just this thing that we didn't have and that that was a big problem. And it kind of gave me this perception that building wealth wasn't for people like me, right? It was reserved for people whose like dads belonged to country clubs. And like, it was just this distinguished thing that some people knew about and other people didn't. Really impacted me in my 20s. A lot of financial educators have this story of like, oh, I have a background in finance, or, you know, I worked on Wall Street, or my parents taught me about money. That is not at all my story. I have a background in making almost every financial mistake a human being can make, you know, including like I was evicted from multiple apartments. I maxed out credit cards and then waited years to pay that debt. I took out student loans. I had a car repossessed, like a tiny Honda Civic hybrid back in the day, and was like constantly back and forth with like threats of like, we're going to take your car, we're going to take your car. I knew exactly how much I could overdraft in my bank account, even up to 2016. In 2016, I had spent quite a bit of time traveling and doing the nomad thing. And at that point, I had no idea what my credit score was. I didn't even have a bank account because I did not trust myself with money, so much so that I'm like, if I have a bank account, I'm going to overdraft. It's going to be a mess. So I was living like cash in hand back and forth. And that's when I started to look at and be like, this system is not working.
Absolutely. And I think so many of us can relate to that. And my dad, he was Puerto Rican immigrant and came from nothing and then worked his way up through the Wall Street corporate ladder. And so even as he made money, as I got older, we still lived like there was no money, you know, at all. And it was like cereals for dinner and whatever it would be, working through jobs through high school and all those different things. But that education, you know, I would see so many of my peers, they would get these allowances or whatever it was. And then as I got older, like entrepreneurs, you make more money, you spend more money. And so how do you actually get this education? And I remember even one time too, it was my first month making like 20K a month, maybe about like 7 years ago. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have so much money to save. And like every month I would be like, there was nothing to show for it. Whatever your circumstance is, this topic's important. And I know it's had you create the Lead Well Summit to really address some of these things. But what do you notice? Because it's like, where you put your intention and where you put your attention, in my opinion, equals where your manifestation is. Even in your case, it was like, oh, I knew how much I could overdraft. I knew exactly all of my numbers, which in some ways you'd be like, putting that attention with the right education towards saving or whatever that, you know, thing might be for you. And how did you start to reverse your resource that you had towards more of these like positive types of things, towards things that were creating a lot of challenge?
I got my stuff together in 2016. At the end of 2017, I bought my first home. And this is before I started a business. Cleaned up my credit. I paid off whatever lingering debt I had, purchased a home, and I was able to save about $10,000. And I did not have a system at that point. You're right in that our intention kind of, we are able to create where our focus is, but our focus is shaped by how we see ourselves. I hadn't healed a lot of those patterns yet. I was just like, I spent a year where I didn't spend anything and I just hoarded money. And then after purchasing my home, I became an entrepreneur and I went into a significant amount of debt then to start that business. So I repeated the cycle from like having cleaned everything up. 10K was the most money I'd ever seen in my bank account. I thought that money was the problem. I didn't somehow think, oh, maybe I'm the problem, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, if I just had more money, this would be better. And I had a similar experience happen when I became an entrepreneur and then I actually started to really earn money, right? I was like, yeah. I hit multiple six figures and then very quickly I had all of this cash flow. And what I experienced was, and this is the same whether it's you experience it via a salary or as an entrepreneur, I experienced both cash flow inflation and lifestyle inflation. What happens, what cash flow inflation is when all of a sudden you start earning more and you start having a lot more cash flow, somehow your expenses just go up because you don't shift the way you're operating in relationship with money. It doesn't solve the problem. So having more money just meant I spent more money. It was more money in, more money out. And because I subconsciously thought I was bad with money, not, oh, I just haven't had the education, I leaned into areas and spaces where they were more welcoming, you know, manifestation in these abundance rituals, mm-hmm. like pretty much anything I could do other than creating a budget and tried to like wish my way wealthy. And towards the end of 2020, I just realized I'm working, I'm making tons of money and I have nothing to show for it. And I realized that cash flow is not the same thing as wealth.
Yeah, and it isn't. And I know you've created some principles and some real core tools around wealth, particularly. And I'd love for you to share your distinction around that and how our listeners can relate to it.
Absolutely. So first, it is in our own definition of wealth. Rich is I have a lot of cash flow and I have a lot of things. Wealth is I have an abundance of value and I have an abundance of opportunity, right? That value gives me opportunity. It's leverage. So that means I have a whole lot of choice. That means I have a whole lot of options. That means, oh, if I want to retire at 40, I can. Oh, if I want to pivot, I have space to create. It means that I'm not limited by cash flow. And that can get really addicting and it can get really, can feel really unstable when our only relationship, our understanding of wealth is just cash flow. And then for entrepreneurs in general, there are some really core principles that can help you begin that journey. So the first is tracking. You have to know your numbers, some kind of system, HoneyBook, QuickBooks. I remember going to this conference. I was on this panel with a bunch of like influencers and entrepreneurs, and everyone's giving advice about hashtags and tricks you can do on Reels and how to go viral. The woman sitting next to me goes, get QuickBooks. And everyone was like, what? And I was like, yes, because if you're not keeping track, I promise it will bite you in the butt. And also it tends to create avoidance in our relationship with our money and our relationship with our business. There's no reason. And for women, especially, fear and stress are the top two feelings associated with money for women across the board, whether you're an entrepreneur or not. And it doesn't have to be something you're afraid of if it's something that you're looking at and you have a system in place for. So know what's coming in, know what's going out, have some kind of a system, even if it's a simple spreadsheet. The second is paying yourself. So this is super essential. A lot of entrepreneurs operate in this way where they pay everything and then whatever's left is kind of their take home. I do not recommend that. That creates instability on a nervous system level, right? Yeah. Because you're like, I don't know what I can commit to in my personal life, in my relationship. Sometimes we're flying to Mexico City and staying at the Ritz-Carlton and dining at Pujol. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't know if we can go on a weekend getaway, or I don't know if we can afford to hire a housekeeper, right? Because mm-hmm. as entrepreneurs, right? And so repeating that cycle only ever makes you feel uncomfortable. It's kind of like in dieting, right? There's a binge and restrict cycle, and they feed each other. The second thing is paying yourself. Now, there are a couple different ways to do that. You can pay yourself a salary, especially if you have consistent cash flow and predictability. I pay myself a six-figure salary every year. That's perfectly enough to contribute to my lifestyle, even though I could pay myself more. Now, if you're newer or up to about $250,000 in profit, there's also the profit first model. So this is where every sale that comes in, you take an automatic 50% out, and that's what you pay yourself. And then you put 30% to taxes, and then you put the other 20% back into the business and the business expenses. And again, those ratios can be adjusted somewhat depending on your overhead and all of those things, but you've got to pay yourself. You can't establish systems in your personal life if you don't have systems in your business, and you need both. And having both makes money this beautiful thing that gets to be the reason that you say yes to the things that matter to you most. And that's really important. The next is a budget. I know a lot of people have a negative association with that word. Like, it just doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound sexy. I was like, oh, I don't want anything but a budget. It sounds like ramen noodles. It sounds like a lot of math. Having a budget shouldn't be based around your values. So it's not, I'm not allowed to have things. It's, I'm prioritizing the things that I want most. I'm prioritizing the things that matter to me. And I'm actually telling money how it gets to work for me, how it gets to show up in my life, and how it gets to serve and contribute to this beautiful life experience that I'm having. With that, taxes have to be accounted for in your budget, at least in your business budget. In your personal life, it's a little bit different, and there are lots of different ratios and ways that you can break that up. There's a zero-based budget, which is what I use in my personal life, where I make sure I have planned for every dollar that gets to be spent in different buckets. And that is great because we all have different styles of relationship to money. So if you're somebody who really likes to spend, you're an overspender, maybe an emotional spender, a budget is going to remind you when to pull back and when to save. If you're somebody who is kind of like a hoarder and is always afraid to spend, a budget is going to remind you like, hey, you actually need to go buy new gym clothes because you budgeted for it. Go spend that money. And if you're somebody who tends to just avoid looking at the numbers, a budget is going to keep you in relationship because you have to check in. There's also like ratio or percentage based, which is what I recommend for businesses in general, because you're not working with a salary or set chunk of money. There's like the 50, 30, 20 rule, which is like 50% pays you as an entrepreneur if we're working off of profit first, 30% to taxes, 20% goes back into the business. You can reverse that just depending on what your cash flow is. So for example, I have that kind of reversed. I could pay myself a lot more, but I love investing back into my business. So I switch those ratios, but I do make sure that taxes are something that I've planned for, that I'm not literally just kind of like clenching my butt cheeks and holding my breath at the end of every year. But that's something that like it's taken care of. I just know it's taken care of because it's an expense that I have. And for most entrepreneurs, the biggest expense that you have. The last thing is investment, 401k retirement situation. As a business owner, you have a lot of opportunity to filter money into a retirement account. For example, I have a 401k set up in my business. This gives me the ability to contribute as an employee for myself and for my spouse and match myself as my business, which means that that money doesn't get taxed the same way the rest of my money gets taxed. And depending if you're choosing Roth or not, you can defer the taxes to later, or you can pay them now, and whatever you earn later when you withdraw is not taxed on. There are a lot of cool things that you can prioritize in terms of wealth essentials. There are also three ways I want you to look at investing as an entrepreneur. The first is in yourself and your skill set. This is super essential, right? Because this gives you the ability to monetize on your education, monetize on your skill set. This puts you in the scope of earning potential. The second thing is investing in your business. This allows you to increase your cash flow, right? You get to take that earning potential, you may get cash flow. And then the third thing is the market. And the market allows you to take cash flow and turn that cash flow into wealth. And eventually your money actually becomes your best employee, right? If this is something you're consistent with long-term, money starts working for you. And that is experiential wealth.
I love that, Hannah. So many good advice and perspective on all those different things. And
hello, Unconventional Lifers. This is your host, Jules, with some exciting news to share. We just launched our next Unconventional Life event on a private island in Fiji this November 9th through the 13th. This 5-day business accelerator is going to be so awesome, full of 75 entrepreneurs, creatives, and thought leaders located on the most gorgeous private coral reef. I was there in June and absolutely fell in love. So if you are ready to head to your next level, you feel like there's something brewing inside of you, or you want an awesome pattern interrupt, make sure to head over to unconventionallifeshow.com/Fiji to get all the details about the event. We are selling tickets like crazy. We just launched this event and made it open. We do these events twice a year. So come connect with this amazing community. Join us on this island in Fiji. Even if you're a little bit curious, head over to that link to see what it's all about, and we'll see you there.
Unconventional lifers, I hope you took some notes, and if not, go back and re-listen to it. And we'll throw some of these show notes up at our website at unconventionallifeshow.com. And I know, Hannah, you've got the summit coming up that I know you've done last year. You really go into these concepts in more detail, and I'd love for you to share a little bit about the summit and how people can participate.
Yeah, it's called the Lead Well Summit. You can join at leadwellsummit.com. It's a free 5-day event. We have some of the world's best financial educators. You can join us for free. We're going to be covering everything from building wealth as an entrepreneur, how to get into the stock market, what kinds of investments to prioritize, but also clearing debt, money trauma. We have some of the best people in the online space, Tanya Rapley from MyFab Finance. We have Chantel Chapman from Trauma of Money, Claire Wasserman of Ladies Get Paid, Varinda Gupta. She is the founder of Sequin Card. She basically has this product for designed for women to help you build credit, but it acts as a debit card, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're bad with credit, you don't want to figure out credit karma and all the complex things, Sequin Card has you covered. And there are very few financial products made for women by women in the online space. There are hundreds, maybe thousands for men. And we're all about closing the wealth gap. And I know that that sounds like a big goal. Women hold 35 cents to every $1 of their male counterpart's wealth. For every dollar of a man's wealth, that's 35 cents that women have. And that means that women are missing out on life-changing amounts of money and the opportunities that come along with them.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think so many of us in 2022 still, you know, are like, it's good. It's equal. It's this, it's that. And it's not. And I think Unconventional Lifers taking the time to educate, and even the ladies that are here, it's like finding like-minded community. And I love that you put this summit together. And so we will put the link to the Lead Well Summit on the website, and you can go ahead and check that out. Hannah, you know, my last question for you is, when you think about living the unconventional life, what does living the unconventional life mean to you?
Living the unconventional life means that I get to say yes to the things that matter to me most. It means that I get to be a steward of my resources, my relationships, my time, and I get to leverage them to create the type of world that I want to live in and to live well in the process.
Live well, indeed. Hannah, thank you so much for taking the time to be on our show today. For our listeners who want to follow along and stay in touch, obviously, Unconventional Lifers, head over to the show notes at unconventionallifeshow.com to get all of the links for Hannah. But Hannah, where should people go to follow along and to stay in touch with you?
Well, first, come join us for the Lead Well Summit. It's 5 days. It's free. It's going to be a blast. It's going to definitely step up your wealth game. So can't argue with free wealth. And then I'm I am Hannah Koenig. That's K-O-E-N-I-G on Instagram. I love new friends. I'm one of those kind of people who's actually in my DMs. So just come say hi.
Awesome. We'll put that Instagram link, Unconventional Lifers, as well up on the website and the show notes. Hannah, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us and for being a steward by example of what it's like to really transform your relationship to wealth. So I know I will go check out the Lead Well Summit as well. I'm excited to see what you have in store. And it was so great to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, everyone.